This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what might be related with these two?
Okay.
And I think it might be a situation. I think Dave Yeager, once again, is a good basketball coach.
Yeah.
I think he's a good man, right? I don't know him. I don't know Taylor Jenkins. He seems the same way. I think he's a good basketball coach and a good man. But from some of the stories I've heard and just people talking about it, they seem like they might be a specific acquired taste, right? Like you.
Those two.
Dave Yeager. Like if you catch Dave Yeager in the wrong moment, you may not.
Yeah, I hear you.
That doesn't bother me though. Like I've had coaches that will yell at you, but like if they're getting the message across, you're being coached.
But,
like,
I'm not. But I wouldn't even say that. Just like the story. And I don't. This is an urban tale, so this may not be.
Is an urban tale the same thing as an urban legend, or is it different?
Same thing.
Okay, I was just asking.
It may not be 100% accurate,
mm-hmm.
but remember the story that Dave Yeager got tired of everybody questioning him playing the rookies, and he put them out there to start, and they got beat by 40.
That's right, yeah, I actually
he's
do.
Like, see? All right, well.
That's kind of funny, though.
Is that what we need to
that
be
That was kind of funny.
To me,
for the record, I admire that level of pettiness.
That's the way I see Yeager and Jenkins are two different people, so.
You're right. They are. They definitely
like
are.
Like the same reasons why I didn't work with Jenkins might not be the same way I didn't work with Yeager and vice versa and all that.
That's
and I got, like, I'm curious too, like when did this go bad for Taylor Jenkins? Now if like they hated him for the whole 4 years, like they just dealt with each other for that, then yeah, that makes it different. I don't know if I want Taylor Jenkins here, but if it's just like kind of ran its course, everyone got sick of each other, then yeah, I'll give him a shot here.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not against Taylor Jenkins. I don't know if I wouldn't take a chance on him over Doug Christie.
I'll make an answer. I would.
You know what else I wonder? What type of player? Like, who would excel under Taylor Jenkins? Like, I know you hate the roster. I don't think any of us love the roster.
Yeah, there's a lot more moves than just bringing in Taylor Jenkins or whoever to coach.
It's Keon, right?
Keon. I could see maybe a Keegan.
Valanciunas. We know that.
Maybe a Keegan.
I think Domas, too.
Yeah.
Maybe. No? Yeah, I think Domas.
Ham talked about it, I think, yesterday.
Not Malik, though, right? Like, Malik doesn't feel like a Taylor Jenkins guy.
Malik feels more like a Ja Morant guy, and we don't know their relationship.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. What was that, Jesse?
I don't worry about Malik. I feel like he's always going to show up and just be ready to go. But, I mean, James was talking about the other day, like, you can still build around a Zach LaVine, Domas type, I think, the little core he's throwing out. Like, I don't think it's... I don't think you have to go full rebuild. We'll just blow everything up. But you bring in a guy like Taylor Jenkins, get a GM in here. You're working with something.
Today, with not that much research into it, I would stay with Doug Christie.
If you learned that the Grizzlies were out on Ja and Taylor Jenkins rather than just Taylor Jenkins, would that change anything?
No.
No?
I don't think so. What you mean by that?
Meaning, with it just like you said, like Taylor Jenkins was a guy who probably ran his offense through Ja and all that. Now Ja's taking a step back. They got Taylor out of there. Now they're kind of running through everyone else. Hmm. Maybe they just felt it was better to move on from. Well, this is all hypotheticals, but
so this is where things get convoluted, right? And like we don't. I didn't listen long enough to really understand like what they're talking about. The offensive coordinator, the guy who's in control right now, is the offensive coordinator, Domas. Yeah. They took the ball out of Ja Morant's hands and kind of had a different offense. He was the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell people, this is not my offense. The thought is, Taylor started taking more control of that.
Got it.
And when I talk about like Ja, like, hey, if this is what it's going to be, maybe I need to leave. And they be like, well, no, let's get the problem out of here so we can get the ball back into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the thoughts that people had in this situation.
Interesting.
So.
Sounds like there was a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Turns out a lot of teams in the league have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's right. Hey, it's not just us.
At least they didn't give him a contract extension.
Yo, firing a coach, a playoff team, firing a coach with 9 games left?
Crazy.
That's kind of crazy.
No, it's yeah,
they tried
it's
to
not
figure
more than
out
kinda.
Instances where that happened and it worked out. The 89 Michigan Wolverines fired their coach who was going to leave 8 games before the season was over. They won a national championship. And I think, like, the New Jersey Devils did that, like, 8 games before.
Look at Mr.
Hockey Show.
Wow.
Well,
remember,
no.
Ron Ovi watched.
Wow.
Just 5 goals away.
First baseball, now hockey.
Ovechkin watched. Five goals away from Gretzky.
This guy, is he going to get there before the end of the season?
I hope so.
How many games they got? Like, probably like 7 or so. Huh?
Yeah, about. Season ends around April 15th-ish, around there. April 8th-ish. One of those weeks.
That is amazing. Absolutely.
But yeah, they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, Keith Reed asked the question. Have we heard from Michael Malone yet? Maybe the Memphis Grizzlies have no class, no balls?
Great question.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I like
maybe.
That.
Great yeah. question.
Yeah, I need this? To hear from him.
How could you do
Let's
this?
Talk about it.
When the team is winning.
Why don't you call playoffs. Why don't you call somebody, Mike, since you got all these connect, call somebody, see how it went down.
Great
Let's talk
question.
About it. Yeah, where's Coach Spo at? Rick Carlisle, he always got something to say.
Coach is supposed to clean up
well,
his own mess right now.
In Rick Carlisle's defense, I do think that's his job. Rick yes, Carlisle, I think, is the president of the Coaches Association.
Ask him. I want to hear what he got to say. And I don't know.
I want to hear the same energy, though.
I don't know if Carlisle actually said anything about Mike Brown. But
well, oh, look at that. Shots at Carlisle for no reason.
Didn't Bickerstaff have something to say? I want him to say something.
Steve Kerr as well. Where are you at? Alan Brown brings him up.
Steve Kerr, yeah.
Rick Carlisle on Mike Brown. I'm going to see if he said anything.
I'm going to use my media credential for the first time just to ask these coaches
well,
these questions.
Well, I got...
Why are you so quiet today, Steve?
I got...
Who the hell is this guy?
Rick Carlisle. Well, no, Rick Carlisle.
Oh, he had something to say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I need to hear from you, Rick.
Yeah, he did.
I need to hear from you.
Let me find the quote because I'm looking on my computer. Rick Carlisle, the firing of Mike Brown today was just shocking to me, and I'm sure all of the people in our profession, I view him as one of the standard bearers of our profession. I'm absolutely shocked that the decision was made.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad.
That's not bad. There was a lot of 95.7 in that tweet. There was a lot of dot dot dots. The article for some reason doesn't have like an actual quote to it. It just has the tweet ingrained in it, embedded in it. Excuse me. Okay, so here's Rick Carlisle's full unprompted quote on the Kings firing of Mike Brown. I just want to say before we get started that the firing of Mike Brown today was just shocking to me.
We got to hear from you.
I'm sure all the guys and the men and women, let's be fair. I had the privilege of working with Mike. So
it's personal.
Rick, Steve, Michael Malone didn't. Yeah. He just hates that.
Azizi Sigmund brings up a good point, too. This firing was more shocking than Mike Brown's. They were 13-18.
Do things like this. Obviously, it's their decision, but Mike's. Okay, he doesn't go in on Sacramento.
Okay. All right, well, you cool then, Rick. Chill.
He doesn't go in on Sacramento. He defends his guy.
Yeah.
He defends his guy.
Even though I might, you know, when they have another press conference and he tries to walk away. Any unprompted comments? Any unprompted before you leave?
Would they really be unprompted if you asked if there were any unprompted comments?
Before you leave? Because that's what he said, right? Before I go.
No. He said before we get started. This was like a monologue.
Yeah. Sorry, Shannon. I don't need to ask a question yet. He needs to say something before we get started.
Kyle Renaud on the chat, too.
He needs to say something before we start. Huh? You know.
Are we getting John Taylor Jenkins at dinner?
Oh, Kyle. Come on, Kyle. Stop, man. Stop. Okay. All right. Since we're doing it, is there a press conference?
No. There's not.
Does Memphis have a press conference to announce the firing of Taylor Jenkins?
Memphis had a statement, I think. That was it.
They did have a statement.
Well, the thing that's working for Memphis, everyone seems to agree with them. Like, yeah, this was a good idea.
Well, no, just the... Well...
Might not need a press conference.
Well, no, just the people in the trenches agree. Everybody else...
It's true, yeah, it's true.
Like, what are they doing? He had to have been selling drugs, and that's why they... there had to be something.
Oh man!
So yeah. When's the press conference?
Yeah,
they're gonna wait till after the playoffs. After 40 day watch.
No, they're gonna wait till after Josh traded. After Josh traded,
when they're bringing in Tyler Hero for the introductory press conference the day before, they'll have that.
Does Ja call members of the Memphis media?
They're gonna call Sane.
Yeah, Anthony Sane. This is what I told him.
Oh, man.
Friday.
Somebody tweet.
Ja gonna be like, same thing happened all the time, but I'm the problem.
Oh man. Mm-mm. Taylor Jenkins' wife gonna cuss somebody out courtside.
Go cuss out Jaren Jackson. Desmond Bain next time.
Desmond Bain. Just cuss his ass out. Captured on fan video.
Oh man. It's a lot funnier when it's another team.
Well, sure is way funnier. Way funnier.
Man, that was crazy, though. I couldn't believe that that happened.
Shout out Chris Haynes. You had that one. Did you see Chris Haynes' little story, too?
No, I got it bookmarked. I need to see what he's talking about.
I caught
about.
The first minute and a half.
What the hell's going on?
Whoa, what happened?
Chris Haynes, I got to go back and watch this. Like a 13-minute clip on his Twitter. He had to get some squatters out of his house in Atlanta, I believe. He took over his house for a few weeks.
So that's what I wonder. I wonder, were they around the corner? Is that what they're doing around there? No, it's in Atlanta. Okay, cool.
Yeah, in Atlanta.
Damn.
KC started worrying about squatters. You know, he got so many properties. He's worried about people.
One property for now. For now, I'm working on more.
There you go. Yeah. Oh man,
look at your house. If there's people there,
yo, that's crazy.
What are you doing in my room?
Crazy.
They wouldn't leave.
What are you doing in my room?
They wouldn't leave. 15-14, South Carolina over Maryland with 1 minute to go in the first quarter.
Come on, Maryland.
Oh, damn. That's how you feel?
Yeah.
I'm not even going there. I want Duke to win in the Elite Eight, but I'm not going there.
Oh, if you promised me that Duke would beat South Carolina, then sure, I'd root like hell for Dawn.
I like Maryland.
I don't even want to root. I don't want to root for anybody because
that's my girl. She's gonna go crazy next year. It's only a sophomore for Lazy.
This is gonna be one of those games where it's like we look up in the third quarter and it's like South Carolina's up 35, and we're like, wait, wasn't it tied at halftime? How did that happen?
The LSU model.
We'll come back. Mike Bibby, head coach of the Sac State Hornets, set to join us right near the bottom of the hour, man. Stay locked in. It's D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320.
It's D'Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320, baby. And we've got NCAA tournament action, baby.
Where are you going?
We're back. We got the Duke Blue Devils. Not Dawn Staley. She's with South Carolina. I'm sorry. I'm getting old. What you want me to say? We're talking about Kara Lawson. She's got the Dukies going to the Elite Eight. I can't wait to see if they play Dawn Staley in that Elite Eight game. But they won today, baby. We've got South Carolina right now going up against Maryland, baby. And that's just the women's side. Yesterday, we saw Alabama. They're putting up points. 25 three-pointers made. Super scintillating. Sensational. Mark Sears, he's the truth. Florida Gators, they won one. Shout out to Clayton and Cooper Flagg. He's a diaper dandy, a Rolls Royce-er, a PT peer. He took care of business over Caleb Love in Arizona. Michigan tonight against Auburn. Go Blue. I know Bruce Pearl, he's ready to go. But Michigan's going to be ready too. Go Blue. John Calipari, how'd you blow that? John, how'd you blow it? You had a chance.
Diggy V, you need to relax. All right, that's a flag on you.
Man, Dick Vitale got a flag.
Asking John Calipari how he did that.
We started the show wishing happy birthdays. Katie from the Wake Up Call is watching. Dickie V, do you want to wish Katie from the Wake Up Call a happy birthday?
Katie from the Wake Up Call, a true diaper dandy, a true PT payer, all Rolls Royces. Happy birthday. I know you're going to have a great night. I know we're going to have a good time. Shout out to Katie from the Wake Up Call.
Can we get a shout out from Macho Man?
Come on, man. I don't even know if she knows who Mike. What are we doing here?
Does she know who Dick Vitale is?
Well, that's a good point. I don't think she knows who Dick Vitale is or Macho Man. I'm confident she wouldn't know who Doc Rivers is or any of these stupid impressions.
Well, just wait a minute. She may know who I am. I mean, I did win three games in a playoff series. So that's something that doesn't get done all the time, and I should get a lot of credit for
it. No,
like
actually, Doc gets done a lot.
Hey, Katie, I just want to say happy birthday. Make sure when you're enjoying your birthday, they tell the whole story. You know, they just got to tell the whole story sometimes. it's your birthday.
Okay. All right. I don't play along with this very often. I do not play along with this very often. However.
Well, Katie, I just want to take this moment to say happy birthday to you. And I know some people don't think it's fine dining, but make sure they take it to Morton's to get a nice little steak. And just like your birthday and how you wanted it to be here so bad, I just want the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl so bad that it just upsets me every time I think about it. And Stanley, you're right. I will fire them at KIFM.
I would never take Katie to a place like Morton's.
Don't do that to Morton's.
Taking Katie to Q1227 tonight. We might wind up at the Jodeci concert. It's going to be a significantly more expensive night than I thought it would be.
Goodness.
But monitoring the resale market, and well, we'll be out there. We'll be out there. Shout out Katie, man. I wasn't even friends with her till the summer.
That's awesome. I love that girl. You ignored her in high school all those years.
That's not what happened.
Right by her. Damien, beat it, kid.
Not true.
Because I was the wife, he just said, so he's like, oh, so they went to school together? I was like, yeah. I don't know if they ever talked at school, though.
Katie,
they went to the same school.
Katie tells this lie that she knew who I was in high school, and I don't believe that for 2 seconds.
Were you popular?
I don't think so.
Sure,
like, did people know who you and your friends were?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, my best friend then is like, I mean, my best friend now.
I'm sure she knew who you were.
Yeah, it's not like you went to, like, how big was your high school?
I mean, El Camino, I don't know.
El Camino, it's the Harvard of the West.
What?
My high school had like
2,000 people. I don't think that sentence has ever been uttered. No. I definitely. Have you ever heard Are You Smarter Than Katie? That is definitely not the case. Have you heard our struggles with math on this show?
Harvard of the West.
See, now Tyler went to El Camino. He says, I knew D-Lo. Did D-Lo? Of course, Tyler, stop it. Of course I knew Tyler. That was my guy.
Tyler, turn around real quick. Don't look.
Of course I did. I know his dad, Tyler's dad, was my baseball coach.
Oh.
And I played with his older brother, Ryan.
D-Lo
I think
moms.
Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler, you're Katie's class. I think they're in the
D-Lo
same class.
Ohtani.
Hey, nah, I suck.
Who's your
bro.
MLB comp?
Who is a great defensive player who couldn't hit worth anything?
Royce Clayton.
You're Jackie Bradley?
Fine.
Shout out Jackie Bradley.
Either one of those.
Yeah. Big ups to him.
Either one of those.
Royce Clayton was my boy.
See? And here's, okay, first of all, Ryan's lying, but that's.
Yeah. Come
okay.
on, man.
All right.
What are we talking about? Of course, you knew who you were.
There's a bunch of people that knew you.
Would walk
wow.
right by her.
Damn, so you really weren't saying hi to people, huh?
It's crazy.
Wow.
Well, I just, like, what everyone knows you,
say,
but.
Beat it, kid.
Hey, damn.
Beat it, kid. Never happened. How come Katie's not getting flack for hating me for all these years? She hated me for like 4 years.
Well, it's understandable.
Well, two years. She hated me
for, to her.
That's not.
Okay. A lot of people dislike you.
A lot of people do dislike
that's
me.
That's not
that
true.
That's a shoot. I'm like Kenny. I just be living. A lot of people dislike me.
I feel like you get this rep for being like an angry person or whatever, but.
I think that's changed. No? Oh, wow. The silence.
No,
that's fine.
No, just silence. I'm vouching for you. I thought you were going to make a point or something. Yeah, I was going to say, like, you've never yelled at me. I've never had an issue with you, so I don't get it. But
I would never yell at you.
I don't think you're an angry person in general. I never thought you were an angry person.
No, I could be short. Like, don't cross me.
You're a little,
like, I'll yell it. Like, I will little, cuss your ass out if you cross
what's
me.
What's our movie, Elemental?
Oh, yeah, Elemental.
Yeah. You're a little that, but
okay.
You're not, like, mean or angry.
I'll burn down the store if
if need be, if the store deserves to be burned down.
Did you ever, you watch the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, after we had our last conversation about
it. Are they making a part 2?
Really?
Aren't they? That's a question.
Oh, they don't need to. The story was told.
Yeah, Coco part 2 is coming out, I guess.
They didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
I love Coco, but the
story you had the message across the first time, jerks.
The story was told. By the way, they're filming Paradise Season 2. I saw that today.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. I saw they're doing the Avengers next, too. Shout out to those who watched that stuff.
They're doing what?
Avengers. It's already the next movie. They already started
the
filming.
Movie?
Yeah.
Like after
the Avengers Secret Wars, I think? Yeah, Secret Wars.
Have we moved on from Thanos?
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, we're done.
Another one since then, or is this the?
No, this will be the next Avengers.
Got you.
The movies in between have kind of sucked, but this will fix.
People shook when Thanos snapped that finger at the end of the.
Thanos had people thinking, "Hey, maybe he's right. Maybe get half of them out of here. I don't know."
Thanos had people shook.
Thank you to Carlton who said D-Lo is a straight shooter. People can't help that people receive it as being angry. He's right.
Excuse me, it's Avengers Doomsday, by the way. I was wrong. My fault.
It's their problem.
Oh, Katie just texted to insist that she didn't hate me.
See, I told you.
She just bullied me a little
bit. I mean, like I said, it would be understandable if you just walked around El Camino's
campus.
That
didn't happen. That's the made-up Jesse Tapia story.
Throwing your sweater at her.
Yeah.
Like, here, hold this
sweater. I threw my sweater at her?
It's hot. Hold this, kid.
I'm sorry. Was the sweater tied around my neck like Carlton? Is that because that's how you just took it off? Did I take my sweater from around my neck
and
throw it at Katie?
It's hot, kid.
Okay.
Hold this, kid.
I've never understood the sweater around the waist or like that.
around the waist.
I like that. Look, I've never rocked it, but I actually like it. When I see it in ads, it's like I want to do that, but I think I'm
going around the shoulder.
Do you ever? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
If you ever do that for a show, you have to talk only in your Luca voice.
All right, that's funny.
Sorry, we missed this one. Katie, I know it's your birthday today. I just want to say, if you're gonna be have your birthday, you gotta make sure you dominate like a big man's supposed to. You make
it's
sure.
It's not a what are you talking about?
I'm talking. You don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. I'm talking about birthdays. You don't know about no birthdays. Dominate it.
What, I don't have a birthday?
dominate your birthday.
Sammy says, D'Lo and Derek Lee, most famous El Camino High alum. Bruh, I'm not even the most famous person in this conversation. That belongs to Katie. You're Derek Lee is at the very, very top.
It's top five?
Ebro's up there. It's got to be Derek
Lee. You're Cooper Flagg.
Ebro.
You're top five. You're Cooper Flagg.
Derek Lee, Ebro, Katie, and then I don't D-Lo. Know.
Hey, go ahead. Give yourself some credit.
What are you talking about? I don't know if I'm top five in at McClatchy anymore. I might be. I don't know.
Did Nick Johnson go to McClatchy?
He did.
Mm.
I think I might be more famous than Nick Johnson. He did play for the Yankees, though. Nah, I'm not more famous than Nick Johnson.
My high school's more infamous.
Larry Bowen.
McClatchy. Okay.
There's somebody else there that knocked me off. So it's somebody that won Grammys.
Oh, that's right. Brie Larson went there, too.
She went to El Camino?
Yeah.
What about Courtney? Isn't that her name? That was in the movie?
Courtney.
In my movie.
No, Nikki. Nikki McElroy. I love Nikki, but I don't...
Think you got her? No, you can say it.
Nikki's... I might be more known in Sacramento than Nikki. Nikki...
She live in L.A.?
She got bigger circles, yeah. Yeah, she got bigger circles. She always said she was coming back. She never came back. That was my dog. That was my dog.
You're down there living in the valley and...
It's good but that was you, right?
Yeah, I came back, though.
You did come back.
Came back for my people.
Woody Cube's got a good point. You ever dropped a, hey, yeah, remember my movie?
that's a good point. It's a good point.
The movie I was in, it wasn't my movie.
You said my movie.
No, we watched it. That was huge. That was big time.
It was four different camera cuts where you were
there. Yeah, yeah, but you had some mannerisms.
And I got blocked out of one scene.
You had some mannerisms, though. Like, you look like a star. You look like a star.
If he does a sequel, though, we need to be in it. We need to be in that.
Okay, I'm with it.
Yeah.
I want a speaking role, though. If Dion's listening. I want a speaking role.
We're in the credits and everything, bro.
I want a speaking role. Hey, let's welcome in for the first time. He's getting his camera fixed. I don't want to mess him up. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Sac State Hornets.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sorry for the I got a crack in my phone. I dropped my phone today.
Man.
That line is on there.
Oh, that's a fresh break. Oh, I know that stung. I don't
is
care.
Is that better or is that?
No, that's perfect.
Good. That's work.
I don't care how much money you have. It stings when you drop your phone.
It is. I was supposed to have somebody come to the house to fix it. So I don't know if I'm ready to change it to the 16 yet. They got a whole... I'm going to change every cord that I have out in my house. So
that's
I'm not
a shoot.
Ready to do that
that's
yet.
How they get you.
Hey, I know you're repping with the daughter this week. We couldn't help but just real quick. You
see the same thing.
Are you allowed to wear that?
You see the same thing.
Yeah, I'm allowed to wear that. I'm hired by Sacramento State.
Uh huh. I mean,
okay.
I'm gonna ask the question because I've been trying to speak this into existence. I mean, are we just gonna be? Is there some uniformity going on? That's all I'm asking. You ain't even got to answer it. I'm just saying, putting it out there in the universe. Is there some uniformity going on?
I don't want to put anything out there yet until anything's done. So. You already know me. You already know how I do it.
Let's go, Mike. I remember doing an event with you, Doug, Vlade. It was years ago out at the park. It was like some fan fest thing that I was doing for the other radio station. And you and Doug were on stage and Vlade was up there. And I remember like the question of coaching came up. and you went and you stood and you put your arm around Vlade and kind of looked at him like, you're the guy who can make this happen. I know this is something that you've wanted to do forever. I know you've been doing it, you know, with your boys and all of that stuff in Arizona, but tell me, yo, what's it like? I mean, I know Sacramento isn't your home, but it is your home.
It's a second home to me. I spend half of my career here. One of my kids was born in Sacramento. My kids grew up in Sacramento. You know, they spent some of their good years in Sacramento. So I felt it was only right to come back to Sacramento and kind of start my coaching career there, because it was kind of like in the NBA. I was in Vancouver. I got drafted by Vancouver, played 3 years. I remember somebody coming up to me like, hey, what happened? Do you still play? And I was like, damn, you know what I mean? So I was like, kind of like, yeah, I still play. I'm in Vancouver, you know, so no one really knows my
That's
Vancouver
crazy.
Years.
You still play.
But then, yeah, but I know. And then so I got to Sacramento, and it's kind of like rejuvenated my career and kind of restarted my career. So I was kind of like, okay, I did it in basketball. Let's kind of go make this kind of same splash in coaching.
Did you always have an eye on coaching, like even in your playing days or anything? Because you're a point guard. That's just a natural coach. That's a natural position where you're a leader and teaching the game and seeing all sides of the game. But did you ever say, like, while you were playing, yeah, I'm going to be on the sidelines at some point?
When you're playing, you never think the game is going to end. You think that, you know, may think it's never going to stop. And I didn't really want to coach until, you know, I coached my son since he was 9. So Michael, my son's 27 now. Wow. So I coached him since he was 9. And with him, it was just, okay, I'm going to put him in the right situation. I'm going to teach these kids the right things, the right way to play until they get to that next level. Now somebody can overtake them. Now I can be a father and watch. I'm not one of those helicopter dads that sit over and I want to watch and I want to make sure my son or my kid plays. I don't do that. So I would put him in the next situation and let somebody take him over while I sit back and watch and kind of teach him the right way things, like as a dad instead of as a coach. And I went into practice one day, and he was a freshman, and I saw the way the practice was being handled. And I remember talking to the AD, I'm like, I don't like this for my son. I want him to be able to learn and get in situations where when he goes to that next level, he'll be ahead of the eight ball. And he's like, you know, we don't know how long we're going to keep this coach. Would you like to coach? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll take over coaching. That's when I started with the high school. And then I fell in love with it. I fell in love with what I do for these kids and teaching these kids and grooming these men into young men.
I can't believe your son's 27. I'm shook off that, man. That's crazy. Time is
older.
Man.
He's big too, man. He's to that stage, right? He's trying to press his up on me a little bit. I said,
that's the wrong move. He didn't seem like me. That's the wrong move, son.
Have you thought about, like, it's because, like, Mike, obviously you know the game. Like, you've been involved in the game basically your entire life in coaching, and that's just kind of relaying lessons that you've learned. But, man, you've got different animals to deal with in 2025, man. You got transfer portals. You've got NIL agreements. Like, how much thought have you given to that over the last few years leading to this moment, but really the last few weeks since you got this job?
It's different. It's different now. We're hitting the ground running. You know, we're allowed to deal with the portal stuff. And right now you can talk to all the people in the portal. And, you know, it's crazy. I got so many calls. I'm probably like 150 kids. Like the first 2 days I was the coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I haven't got a chance to look at everything yet, but we're going to pull off with an amazing feat right here and come in here and try to switch the whole culture of Sacramento State around and turn this into a winning thing.
Mike, what would you say your style of play is? Like, if we go out there and we're watching Sac State, and we'll definitely be out there, are we going to be like, man, this is a up and down offensive team, or this is a grimy defensive team? Obviously, you want them to be able to do everything, but what do you want to hang your hat on as a coach for your team?
My thing, even though I didn't play much of it in the NBA, it's going to be, I want them to play defense. You know, our thing's going to be off defense. I want to be an up-tempo team. We're going to run and gun, get shots up. We're going to be in shape. So we're going to go back to the old school running. Mm-hmm. I want our team to pick up defensively and kind of wear this team out. You know, you get in games and you get in, and teams play at your pace. We want teams to play at our pace. And they're not going to be ready for it. We will. So we're going to try to wear teams out in that aspect. You know, try to average 80 to 90 points a game and just get out there and play basketball and have fun while we're doing it.
And that influences the way you attack this transfer portal, right? It influences the way you recruit. Like, you have a style of play in mind, and you've got to go get young men who can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I want kids that can play. But first of all, I want good kids, good young men that aren't knuckleheads and come in here and put themselves in a good situation, and so I can look out for them and kind of teach them, you know, be a father figure for these kids and help these kids grow. And but I mean, I want kids that can play, you know what I mean, and that are dogs and will get out there and will leave everything on the line for their teammates. I don't want selfish players. I want guys that, you know, is happy for the next player when they score. Kind of like our Sacramento guys, to where everybody's having fun. You could mess around with everybody and not take anything to heart, but just have fun out there.
You know, Mike, you obviously, you've lived out here, you played out here, you know, X amount of years ago, and you probably know in the city, the perception of Sac State and what it was as a university, commuter school, the sport, all it wasn't like high, right? It was just like, all right, it's whatever, it's Sac State. And now, in the last 18 to 24 months, the energy that has been injected into this university from Dr. Luke Wood and AD Mark Orr, and we got our guy, Coach Marion, and now you being a part of it. I mean, can you just talk about the energy and the perception and the good vibes that's going on with Sac State Athletics right now?
I mean, I think it all starts with Luke Wood, and the way that he's treated me and the way he's treated my family by coming in is second to none. Same thing with Mark Orr, and they're looking to do big things. You know, like you said, the football hiring and the way they've turned football around. I think it's going to go the same thing with basketball, and they want to see these. I mean, Sacramento's a sports town, and you have to win in order for them to even come out. They're always going to have your back no matter what, but you have to give them a winning situation for them to be able to go and want to follow that and want to be able to be a part of that as well. And I think by the hirings that they did, I think it's going to help a lot, because I mean, there are so many people, like, you know, trying to down Sacramento State, down this, and, well, you have this, well, no one will do this. And me, I love a situation to where you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to come in and do it. So I love to be back in Sacramento again. Like I said, it's a second home for me. And it was a no-brainer for me coming back.
Hey, Brett asked a great question here in the chat. He said, who gets to wear number 10 for Sac State?
Nobody. Nobody wears 10, man. Put that in the Raptors now.
Can you imagine these kids going, hey, I'm going to wear number 10? And Mike goes, no. You're asking. I mean,
number 10 is a good number. They're wearing that. Somebody's going to wear it. Somebody just called Pete. Congratulations, going to University of Arizona. I think he'll probably wear number 10. You know, got DeMar DeRozan wearing number 10 in Sacramento.
There you go.
A lot of 10s are retired around the NBA too. So, I mean, number 10 is a good number to wear for people.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Coach Mike Bibby.
Coach, that's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Coach, that's crazy.
It's tournament time. I'm predicting we're going to see you guys in tournament time sometime soon, but that's just me. But, man, I love the story of you wearing those foam posits in the national championship game. I've heard it before, but I can hear it 100 times, man. Can you just kind of talk about how that played out with you? It changed the game, really. You wearing those foam posits kind of changed the sneaker game, man, with, like, having debuts and stuff like that on that on that Final Four stage, man. So you were a trendsetter with that.
I'm telling you, it was like wearing a Timberland boot out there. I feel them today, and I'm like, there's no way that I was able to play in these. But you know, when you're 18, you can play in anything. So, but I mean, you know, back in that day, everybody wore uniforms that were, you know, matched their outfits. I mean, wore shoes that matched their uniforms. So, you know, our uniforms are red and white. We wear red and white or navy and white. And Derek Lottenbach comes to our team, sits our whole team down, and it's like, hey, I got a shoe for you guys that I want you guys to wear. I mean, you don't have to wear, but I'm going to give everybody a pair. And they're not your team color. Like, he emphasizes, it's not your team color, but they're not out yet. And as soon as he said they're not out yet, I stood up. I said, I'm wearing them. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what color they are. I'm wearing them. And so, I mean, ever since then, it was like, okay, I wore them throughout the whole tournament. There were some guys that wore them, some guys that didn't. Mm-hmm. I was one of those guys that kept them on the whole tournament. And it was just, I never thought it would turn into what it turned into. I wasn't thinking about turning into something that it was turned into. I just wanted to be, you know, different and be like, hey, what does he have on? Because I was always a shoe guy when I was young. I was never able to get them all. But now, you know, I was able to have a shoe that no one has. Like, okay, I'm going to go out there and stunt on them.
Yeah, that was iconic.
Now you have all of the shoes, like literally all of them. Al Bianconi has told us stories about the shoes that you have. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite shoe in your collection?
I don't have a favorite shoe, but if I would say, I would say the cap and gown 11s. They're all black. I just love all black shoes. I wear black a lot. And my best shoe that I could probably say, like the all cap and gown 11s.
Yeah, love those. Look, hey, Mike, look, you ain't got to say nothing. I'm just talking here. Boy, that jump, man, look fire in that green. It looked fire. I ain't trying to get my man Mike in trouble. You ain't going to say nothing.
Just a casual observation. Just a casual observation. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Mike, before we let you go, I'm old enough to remember, I don't know how many people are, when you were a Kings analyst like 5 minutes ago. And we had, you know, one of the biggest discussions is the Keon Malik starting six man thing that's going on right now. You're a part of one of the greatest conversations ever in that regard, is that you were starting. Bobby was really good, the six man, and it was a constant, you know, what would be a better fit for Sacramento. Do you have an opinion on this the starting two spot for Sacramento?
You could always look at what I said. I said it from the first day coming in. I loved Malik coming off the bench, you know, and I put him in those categories with the Lou Williams and Jamal Crawfords, those guys that won that award three times. And I mean, I just think, on any team, he could be a starter. You know, the same thing with Bobby Jackson. Like, Bobby just gave us so much energy coming off the bench. That was his role. And Bobby embraced it. Bobby got six man of the year. I mean, it's just something that I think that fits him so good that you need that kind of firepower coming off the bench. And I'd start Keon Ellis and bring Malik off the bench just because when things start off slow, that they've been saying that since the beginning of time. When things are slow, you need somebody off the bench with that firepower to give you a boost when the team is dragging at the beginning. I think Malik does that for them. I bring Malik off the bench. He's a great player. Like I say, he can start anywhere he wants to, but I think his best role is being the sixth man.
Coach Mike Bibby.
Man, this is awesome.
Coach Mike
this
Bibby, awesome. Man. That's
cannot
awesome.
Wait.
Congratulations,
it's
bro.
To, it's about to go up when we get to sack. Be ready. Everybody be ready when everybody coming out.
Yeah.
Just be ready. It's going to be a different look over there.
Yeah.
Hey, we're proud of you, bro, man. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I see you got your hair now, huh? I see that.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. Yeah, boy. Hey, Mike know what it is. Mike, you know why? You know why I had to grow my hair? But I got confused for you as you too many times. I'd be at them Monarchs games like, hey, you Mike Bibby? Like, no, man, I'm not. I had to grow it out, dog.
Oh, it looked good, man. Somebody, I was at the airport yesterday. Somebody thought I was Derek Jeter, man. I don't know, but I mean, you know, I mean, some people don't get to see people a lot, man.
Yeah.
So.
All light skinned brothers look exactly the same. appreciate you, Mike. Can't wait for you to get out here, man.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
We're going to be out there supporting you.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Man. Welcome back, baby.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
That's our man, Mike Bibby, right there. Coach Mike Bibby, we're going to be seeing a lot of him.
Sir.
This upcoming season, we will come back. Eddie Gonzalez joins us for his weekly visit a little later than normal, but he's with us here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. My man Eddie Gonzalez going to join us at the top of the hour. Run that back, sorry.
They want us to do some live shows?
No, Alan was asking if we would do some live shows at Sac State.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sit up there, do a live show with popcorn and wine.
I'll do it. Y'all be, hey, y'all get it.
I'm not hating.
Feels like hey, and look, I
felt like a
yo,
shot on Dan.
It absolutely felt like a
get,
shot.
No, you ain't gonna get no popcorn and wine at the basketball game.
Why not?
Come on, man, you're gonna be sitting there courtside with popcorn and wine.
I think they got a Gator.
Why wouldn't
well?
No, man. No wine.
Well,
you can't have
to
the
be
wine
clear,
glass there.
To be clear, okay. First of all, I don't have a wine glass. It's the plastic glass that they give me. Second of all, the wine and the popcorn comes from the Sky River Touchdown Zone. So unless
True.
They got one of those,
I need something from them sliders.
That that. It is now wine, popcorn, and sliders.
Somebody said, where is it at? Somebody said, oh, man, I missed it. But they said, D'Lo and KC, the pregame live, yeah, we'll be in the parking lot.
It might be.
He in the parking lot with J. Ross.
Yay! I mean, he can't turn us down if we're like actually there.
What if J. Ross had you guys on the halftime of the show this year?
Why not?
I don't understand why. I don't understand why we don't do that already. Talk.
Are you guys all in the booth?
Let's all talk.
Just walk up there and put a headset on. What's up, Jay?
We do like NWO. It just, like when they went on the set, just start moving people out the way, took the headset.
Cool thing is, we're all on the same team.
It's the NWO. Well, yeah. The great part is, we would cut that entire conversation from the game and air it on the show and promote that Jason Ross will be on the show.
Yes, of course.
What was that?
Easy voice word. Of the Sac State Hornets. Shout out.
That's easy it. Word. I don't understand why this is such a problem. I really see no flaws in it, holes in this.
As Mr. Perfect would say, it is perfect.
Absolutely perfect. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to talk about how excited I am for basketball and football season.
Sac State.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that during the commercial break.
I've never been this hyped up about Sac State athletics. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a great first year of all this, and we're going to enjoy some good stuff. Man, I was already thinking about the football game. They got two road games to start the season. I think it's North Dakota State and Nevada. And we got to see it on the field. I don't want to talk like too blasphemous, but, man, they might get both of those, come home 2-0. I think they can get Nevada.
Okay.
South Dakota State, I don't know, man. I think that's one of the top-tier FCS programs, but I think that's where Sac State's going to be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm with it. I hope so. It is a really, really exciting time. Mike touched on this a little bit. Coach Mike Bibby touched on this a little bit. I did have a plan to ask him a more in-depth question on it. But I was just fascinated to hear people's first impressions of Dr. Wood. Dr. Luke Wood, who is a dude who you spend like 5 minutes talking to and you go, that's the president of the United States right there. Not the president of Sac State University. That's the president of the United States.
Yeah.
You can do it.
You absolutely can, man. Such an impressive guy, man. And his energy is infectious.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I mean? It reverberates around, I want to say, that organization, that university. Yeah. When you think about how much has gotten done with him as the president of that university, man, it really is spectacular.
It's one of those things, too, that, like, with him and what he can do and the combination of him and Mark Orr, the AD, things that seem impossible years ago, Pac-12, new football, going FBS, all this other stuff, hiring a guy like Mike Bibby, getting some at the well. It's like they not only get things done, but they speak with such conviction and confidence. Whatever he says, I'm like, yeah, all right. Until I see it not happen, I'm going to believe that you're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that's in the past, it would have been like, somebody would say something and be like, all right, until I see it, I'm not going to believe it. It's actually the opposite with those guys. Until I see it not happen, you say we're going this and that, okay, it's going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, it'll be like, oh, or if it doesn't happen, I'll be like, oh, well, that one didn't work. Next one will, though. Like, they just make you believe the things that they've done. Number one, because of the belief they have in what they're trying to do and the things that they've already gotten done.
Mike pointing out, that one man, I'm so proud of Mike. Like that, like the fact that, you know, him and Doug both really wanted to be coaches.
Mm-hmm.
To see what Doug is doing now with the Kings and what Mike is going to get the opportunity to do with the Sac State Hornets, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
that's really awesome. So I'm really happy for him. I'm really proud of him. I also think it's very funny. He pointed out that I grew my hair back. Mike, I grew my hair back in 2008. So like there was a summer, I've told the story before, where Mike and I worked out together. Like I had my first run at KSFM had come to an end, very brief end, but an end. Mm-hmm. And I walked into the gym that day and Al was like, "Hey, what are you doing here so early?" It's like, "Well, I'm done at KSFM." He goes, "Oh, all right. Well, I'll see you tomorrow at 8:30. And he walked away. And so I got there at 8:30 and it was to work out with Mike and his brother. And I spent the whole, basically the last part of the summer leading into the season working out with Mike. And I had short hair at that time. So the fact that he pointed it out, that's about 20 years later,
wow,
is spectacular. Wow. And that, of course, is the time where the kid runs up to me at the Monarchs game with a pen in his hand and goes, looks at me like, are you Mike Bibby? No. And he looks up at his dad and goes, runs back up the stairs. The little punk ass kid, get away from me. And you know the funny, that kid's like 25 now or whatever. Kid's 30.
Oh man, good times. I wish I was around for, well, I was around ish. I went to one of the playoff games. But I was gonna say, I wish I was around for the Monarchs. Like how I am now. You know what I mean? Seemed like a good time.
It was. Especially those playoff runs. Tom Bell says, you should have just signed it. Can't lie, Tom. I thought about it. I definitely did. Eddie Gonzalez is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. Big thanks to Mike Bibby. Big thanks to Ryan and the crew over at Sac State for always taking great care of us when it comes to getting these coaches on, these very, very busy coaches. Of course, yeah. Mike. But poor Mike dropped his phone.
Mike said he already got people emailing him left and right about the transfer.
Yo, that was crazy. Like right after he gets and so that's the other thing too, is like, we talk about this with Cal, and this is even a different world than what, you know, Cal mastered with the one and dones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you gotta be a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, there's a lot more to it than that. You got to work that transfer portal. You got to win young men over, young women over. You've got to negotiate NIL deals with businesses. Mike, as much as influential as Dr. Wood and Mark Orr and all of those guys are, you know, Mike Bibby, mm-hmm, you know, Brennan Merriam, those are the guys who have to convince Sky River Casino.
Right.
They're the ones that have to convince the big boosters like Kenny Caraway to donate big dollars to get these kids in the transfer, yeah, portal to come play for Sac State.
Yeah. It's a whole different ball game.
It's a whole different animal.
Yeah. But Mike Bibby is the type of guy that has those type of connections, that has that type of influence on the kids, on their parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure some of that is, man, Mike Bibby over Sac State, you might want to look at him now, because I know Mike Bibby cold, and you talk about what he did as a high school coach in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys remember, oh, no, he's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had this amount of titles, he's a good coach. So now you've got them, like he mentioned, they're seeking him out to go to Sac State. That's the crazy part. Like, he's going to do his work. He's gonna grind and do everything that he needs to. But they are coming to him. And that's the crazy part about this whole Sac State dynamic. There are people actively trying to get to Sac State.
Yeah.
That's dope.